ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Presented by Zadok Jewelers. KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. Live from 500 Golf Center in Beaumont. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Here's Joel Blank and Patrick Crate.
All right, back. Hour number two of the program. I apologize. The voice is a little less than stellar today. Laryngitis seems to be running rampant through my house. My wife has had it for a week. I thought I dodged the bullet, but this morning it is not exactly what I was hoping it would be to finish the week. But I'm here doing my best for y'all as we get into hour number two of the program with Pat and Tyler on site and Trey back at the studio keeping us on the air, having a good time talking about a whole bunch of things going on in sports and otherwise. Right now in the city of Houston, Texas, we are at 500 in the 409 of Beaumont. 500 Golf Center is absolutely fantastic. We've been singing its praises because it's a fun, fun spot to be at. If you're looking for something to do on the weekend and you were looking for a great place to do it, it's 500 Golf because you can get the eats and the drinks. You can hang out at one of the bays inside or outside. If you're a golfer, you can hit golf balls and play all the games and the courses they have set up. Or if you're inside and you want to do it a different way, you can throw footballs, kick soccer balls, throw baseballs, do all kinds of fun and games as it relates to the screens. And Patrick Creighton speaks for them, so you don't need it to hear from me. You can hear from him. It's a fantastic spot.
If you are a golf fan, you want to come out and hit the driving range, you got the Top Tracer double-decker outdoor driving range, which they just redid. They actually just made the nets higher and deeper. For all you guys who are big drivers, this is a great place to come out with your clubs and hit the driving range. You want to work on your swing, you got the Top Golf Swing Suite. You can get in there and work on your swing. You just want to have a little family fun, you go inside to the sim bay, and you can simulate golf on a bunch of different world-class courses. Or, you know, you can play baseball, you can play hockey, you can play soccer, you can play zombie dodgeball. My kids love zombie dodgeball.
What the hell?
Zombie dodgeball is cool as hell, bro. You definitely want to at least get in one round of zombie dodgeball. That's fun. And they got a great kitchen. They got a full-service bar, all top-shelf stuff. This is a great place to come. You got a great pro shop here. You want to get custom fitted for clubs. You want to pick up apparel or accessories or whatnot. This is a place to come. It's a great place whether you want to come with by yourself and just work on your golf game. You want to come with your buddies and have fun, drink some beers, play some golf. You want to come with your whole family. This is a great place to be. And then they'll have cool events like Pat Green having a concert out here on the green. And you can get tickets. You can get tickets, sit right up by the stage. You can buy a VIP box here up in the bays, on the upper bays and the lower bays, and bring 10 of your friends. There's so much cool stuff that goes on here.
Very, very good stuff. We had Pat Green on the other day on the show. He's a good dude. He's a Texan, and he's going to put on a great performance here on Monday night. So that's something you want to put on your radar as well. Radar tonight, it's Zach Greinke on the mound as the Astros try and bounce back, taking on the Minnesota Twins in the second game of the four-game set that'll take you through the weekend. Tied for the best record in baseball with the Rays. Texans back on the practice field. Now we're hearing about the fact that, you know, media outlets are still fighting if there's legitimacy to the Eagles being interested in Deshaun Watson. We covered it yesterday. We can briefly cover it again today. It's not a story, and it's not going to be a story because no one's going to trade for Deshaun Watson until at least the majority of all of these cases and the most serious of these cases are put behind him. So, therefore, it's fun for people to talk about. Jay Glazer, the latest to talk about it, he insinuated that there is hope, I stress, that things could be worked out between the team and Deshaun, and that's why they've handled it the way they've handled it so far, as you and I have been a little bit critical of the fact that me in particular saying he doesn't belong on the field. All he can do is get hurt, and he's not going to play until he gets some of this stuff resolved. But then now Glazer's out there saying that. Other people are already debunking what he said. But the fact of the matter is we're still talking more about Deshaun Watson than the 2021 version of your Houston Texans.
And that might actually be a good thing.
It could be.
Let's be real. But the whole thing with this sudden spike in, you know, are the Eagles still trying to make a deal, you know, for Deshaun Watson? The Eagles have a young quarterback in Jalen Hurts who is really, really good at the college level.
Yeah.
And he's going to play behind a garbage offensive line this year in Philadelphia, with very little in the way of weapons, that team might win 5-6 games in a division that's not very good.
Yeah, the division's awful.
They're not a good team. They're asking Jalen Hurts to play behind a lot of, you know, without a whole lot of pieces around him and behind a very shaky offensive line. Why do you want to go out? Let me go spend money and assets to get, you know, the idea of a star quarterback who may or may not be in a whole lot of trouble with the law and put him behind a garbage offensive line with very little skill position players around him. Did you not watch last season? Did you not see how the Houston Texans, with a lousy offensive line that couldn't run block and couldn't run the football, that in a year where offensive holding was not called hardly at all, they still gave up 50 sacks. They couldn't stop anybody from running the football. They gave up over 160 yards per game on the ground. They gave up 30 touchdown passes and had 3 interceptions.
The interceptions are off.
They trailed, on average, 33 minutes per game, every game. They were down at the half 10 out of 16 times. They won 4 games, mainly because of the right arm of Deshaun Watson. Maybe they could have won more, but every time Deshaun would get them the lead late, the defense would part like the Red Sea, and the other team could score in 40 seconds. How is Philadelphia going to be any different than what Houston was last year? They're a little better
on
defense.
But I keep saying, Pat,
they stink.
Regardless
There's
of how
no
good or bad
that
they
deal.
Are, regardless of how good or bad they are for this year, it doesn't matter. Because the thing is, no general manager in their right mind is going to give up future assets, draft picks, and young players without the certainty of knowing what this guy's going to, how available this guy's going to be, and if he's facing any long-term ramifications that could prevent him from ever touching the field for me, or at least for a couple of seasons, when I need to turn it around with the bad roster that you're already talking about that they have. So that's why when Glazer goes out there and says they're at a standstill right now because the Texans still think that Deshaun's going to play for them this year. I don't know where they're getting that from. There's been several teams that have been trying to reach out to them, try to trade for Deshaun. They're not calling any of them back. I don't think they're looking to give a discount to anyone. I've said this. It's the most valuable asset they still have on the roster. So they're not going to give him away. And on the flip side, I still stand exactly as adamant as I can be that there's no team in the league that's going to trade for this guy with what's hanging over their heads right his head right now.
Well, I think we all agree on that. What
but
I'm
then
saying
why
is,
are they keep saying that there's trades to be made and that they're in talks with the Eagles?
Because there's clicks to be had and advertisers to approve of all the clicks
that's
that
fair.
I got.
That's fair.
I mean, if you're Philadelphia, as bad as you are, for as little talent as you have up and down that roster, you don't need to give away 4 draft picks for Deshaun Watson. You need to get talent. Like, we could give up all these picks and we can get the star quarterback, and you need to have a star quarterback. You also need to have an offensive line. But you also need to have a defensive line.
Right, but they've been using their picks to enhance the line, to get more receivers, to do some things to set it up for the fact that maybe the only thing that they are in search of is that franchise quarterback. I have, as I mentioned, Eagles fans that are just chomping at the bit going, get this thing done. We want Deshaun in Philly. You also have to take into consideration there's a no trade. And as you said, he's probably not vetoing anything at this point. But maybe he doesn't want to be in the heart of the East Coast. Maybe he doesn't want to be in Philly where it's such a tough sports town, especially coming off everything that he's dealing with. So for whatever the reason, as of right now, I think it's a moot point for us anyway. Jay Glazer, anybody else, Mike Florio, I don't care. He's not going anywhere. He's not going to be a part of your squad this year. The deposition isn't until next year, so we all need to just move on. And that's why I said right from the get-go, especially since now he's got an injury, he's nursing already, having done nothing but play safety on the taxi squad.
Standing there,
send
with
him
hands
home,
behind his back.
Keep him there. Never should have been in camp, and he shouldn't be what everybody's talking about.
He's standing there with his hands behind his back, being the safety, but
sure, that's where they are. Were the masseuse's hands there too?
No, they made him. They made him change jerseys, no less. They had him take off the 4 and put on a 23 to go play safety on the scout team and stand there and do nothing. But again, Philly needs way more talent. Deshaun Watson's not going to make them a 12-win team. No quarterback is going to make that team as is a 12-win team. They stink up and down the roster.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's different in Miami where you've got a legitimate team. or in Denver where you have a legitimate team. Philly is way off of being a real contender, quarterback or not. They are not a quarterback away.
Right.
Miami's a quarterback away. Denver's a quarterback away. For those teams to give up the assets to get them, it makes sense. And you know what? If you are one of those teams and you are the GM there and you say, hey, you know what? I'm going to risk it for the biscuit. I'm going to make this lowball offer. And if they take it, I can live with it because I'm going to pay 20 cents on the dollar. If you can get the Texans to agree to 20 cents on the dollar and you're willing to throw dice, throw the dice.
I don't think the Texans are looking for a bargain. They're looking to steal one. But I don't think, especially if they're not even returning phone calls at a certain point, anybody should even be calling and realistically think this is something the Texans are going to explore because they desperately need to be closer to that five young players, including three draft picks mode, than let's give him away for the two best players we can get our hands on and or picks and call it a day. Do I think they need to get out from under this distraction? Sure. I'd love it to be sooner rather than later, but I don't see it happening that way. So it's time for them to do the right thing. Until the NFL steps in, you got to suck it up, realize you're going to have to pay them for now, but keep them away from your squad. It's a massive distraction for the players in the locker room, the coaching staff. Every day, it's the first question of David Culley, of Nick Caserio, of whoever's on the podium. And it's got to be nauseating for them, too. They need to focus, whether they're going to be good or bad, focus on the task at hand and stop worrying about a guy that's not going
to
be there.
And every time they ask that, we get to have today, because today is ESPN The Ocho Day. Today is the Ocho on ESPN2. Today it's the Ocho. And you have stuff like air hockey and air guitar championships and mullet championships. And every time they ask Caserio or Culley or any player about Deshaun Watson, what do? Dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge. That's all you're going to get. And I don't understand why they didn't just make the agreement, hey, we're not going to find you, just stay home. We don't need to have all this nonsense going around, because that's exactly where I would have been with it, is here, we don't want the distraction. But understand this, Nick Caserio is extremely cognizant of the Texans' recent track record in trades, how they got brutalized over the DeAndre Hopkins trade. He is not going to allow himself to get taken on
Bill O'Brien trade either. He's a savvy, experienced personnel guy.
He is going to make sure he wins this deal, or at least is considered to have won the deal. He is not going to sell on the cheap. He is very, very aware of that track record with this team.
All right, you guys want to get in here? 713-780-3776 for calls and texts. Otherwise, it's Twitch, it's Twitter. We're interacting throughout the program. We're at 500 Golf Center here in Beaumont, Texas. We'll be here till 4. Henry Thomas and the man, the myth, the legend, Fred Fowler are going to be here for an F That Friday. F You Friday?
F Yeah Friday.
F Yeah Friday was my deal.
Oh, that's your deal?
Yeah, it was.
I don't know. It's Friday? They're going to play the Friday song?
Yeah, they'll probably play the Friday song. So Fred and Henry and friends are going to be – Fred and friends will be here with Henry Thomas tonight. They'll be also here at 500 Golf from 4 to 7. So enjoy the experience. Come on by if you're in the area. Otherwise, keep it right where you got it. It's the Press Box on ESPN.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from 500 Golf Center in Beaumont. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Here's Joel Blank and Patrick Creighton.
The man, the myth, the legend, the voice of ESPN Radio, telling you it's me, Pat Creighton, Tyler Scott. Alex is here with the promo team, sampling the fine cuisine while he one-handedly hands out all kinds of fun and games goodies here on the outside deck at 500 Golf, the home of Bo Brown in Beaumont, Texas. He is also here signing autographs, taking selfies, and he'll be here all night. Can't miss him in the construction orange golf shirt on the range. You guys can come and be a part of all of this. We're here till 4. Blitz is here till 7. NBA news coming in this morning. After discussions last night, Charlotte Hornets have reached a 2-year agreement with former Golden State Warrior Kelly Oubre. Kelly Oubre continues to steal money. I mean, get money. I mean, sign deals. 2 years, $25 million as he joins a young – I think he'll fit pretty well with the Hornets team, too. I think it's not a bad signing for them.
Always happy to see guys securing the bag. Always want to see players get paid. I want them to, you know, keep their money and not spend it foolishly. But I'm all for players getting all the money they can get at any time. Here's one that I want to ask you about. Last year, the Nets got LaMarcus Aldridge middle of the season.
Yep.
And it looked like Aldridge had, you know, kind of found a little extra bounce in his step. He was playing really well.
Had a chance to win a ring.
But he only played a couple of games, and then he was diagnosed with an irregular heartbeat
right.
and abruptly retired. And probably took a lot of wind out of the sails. They wound up having to go, you know, try to make some more moves to bring in more big guys. Aldridge, considering coming back, likely would wind up re-signing with the Nets. What do you think about LaMarcus Aldridge coming back into the NBA? What is he now, age 36 or so? And obviously not the player he was, but still a pretty good player. And to join that team, where would that put the Nets for you in the pantheon of the top teams in the NBA right now?
Well, I already said this just in what they've done already, as opposed to the Lakers, who I would put as the second best odds to win it all next year. The Nets have done more to have a legit, not just rotation, but roster of variety where they need guys to play certain roles than the Lakers did. Everybody can bash the Lakers, and LeBron went out and tweeted about it defensively and then took the tweet down, but was like, keep that same mentality, keep talking that hate until you see what we do. Fine and dandy, but you've got a really old roster of guys that have been recycled for like the fifth time, and no one really knows their roles yet. You're just trying to see where they're going to be. You know they're going to be on the team. When you look at what Brooklyn did, they brought back Bruce Brown. He's their Swiss Army knife. No matter where you put him, he's effective. You bring a guy like Blake Griffin back. Blake Griffin, on certain nights, is going to be asked to score. But when he's not, he knows how to get the guys open with screens that need the ball, i.e. Irving and KD and Harden. He knows that his job is to rebound and run the floor and do little things, which he did very well for them throughout the season. You've got great role players. They got two young players in the draft to add to a young stable of guys they already have that can help them out. They're adding a veteran like Patty Mills. I think the Nets are head and shoulders the number one seed. I think the Lakers are at two. And I think that more people sleep on Westbrook than give him credit. He's going to be the point guard that they truly needed that's not worried about his shot, as opposed to he's going to push the tempo, he's going to get them in transition, and he's going to get to his bread and butter. He knows who the guys are that are going to finish. But I think it's the Nets, the Lakers, then everybody else. And so for that reason alone, regardless where LaMarcus Aldridge goes, it's just more icing on the cake for the Nets because now you have more depth with size. And when he was there for the game or two that he played for the Nets, he looked like he fit in.
He fit in. He looked like he found a little extra bounce in his step and was playing really
well. Just like
well.
Blake Griffin did leaving the Pistons.
Yeah, all of a sudden, hey, look, Blake Griffin can dunk again. Who knew that
well,
was
Charlie
coming?
And I, Charlie said Blake Griffin can't dunk anymore. He won't. He's done. And I said, no, just put him in the right spot. I think he's going to be fine in Brooklyn. And he was more than fine. He was more than serviceable. He was a good role player for them.
Yeah, all of a sudden, there was no more Larry Johnson phase two. No, not that he was, you know, flying over the Kia like he once did, but
right.
Blake Griffin was, you know, able to play, you know, above the rim when he needed to. And we didn't see that in Detroit, and I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that, well, he wanted out. He didn't care. Just get me out of here. I'm not going to risk hurting myself. You know, how many times we see a guy go up and then he takes a shove from behind while he's in midair? You have no idea where you're landing when that happens.
No, no.
And if you're the age of Griffin and the injury history he's had, I'm not putting myself at risk on a team that has no chance, that I don't want to be a part of. I want to move to a team that's going to give me a chance. I need to be healthy when I get there. So I understood that part of it. So, you know, I like you. I think the Nets are the best team. They've got three guys that you can't defend one-on-one.
They're close. They're still close to their prime,
under
too.
Any circumstances whatsoever. But I also, like you said about teams sleeping on Westbrook, while a lot of people look at it and say, well, Westbrook doesn't shoot, very well, especially from the outside, and that's what they need. Well, they've gone out and they got some other guys who can shoot. What Westbrook does, Westbrook plays 100 miles an hour all the time. Nobody is going to take plays off with Russell Westbrook there because Russ is going to be in your face. And when Russ is coming up the court 100 miles an hour and he's looking to find, you know, Brow coming down the lane or Bron coming as the trailer, and you take your eye off Russ and you say, all right, I'm going to stop and I'm going to keep an eye on Brow or LeBron, Russ is already flushing that ball down.
Yeah, he's going to punch it on you. And that's why I said, too, the fact is Russ has had to do and was looked at to do things that is not in his game, to be a scorer and a jump shooter and everything that he was criticized here in Houston, a three-point shooter. But if he's on a squad where he's got guys he can rely on to get the points, you saw him with Bradley Beal. Once Bradley Beal was the guy to be the main scorer, he could still do other things to get you the triple-double, to get you double-digit assists, and also give you 15 to 18 to 20 points and be what he's going to be. He's going to do the same thing for the Lakers with more resources, more guys that he's going to trust to give the ball to, more opportunities for the Lakers to get out on the break and score. So that's a no-brainer to me. I think as I look at it, too, Robert Horry had some comments yesterday. I wanted to get your opinion on this, but I totally agree with this. He was critical of Kawhi Leonard, going, how many times are you going to hold the Clippers hostage, man? You know, you declare for free agency. You want more and more money every single year. They're committed to you in a year where you're not going to play, and they're going to pay you the whole time. And you could have just said, you know what, you only had 1 year left, so just let it roll for one more year. Take my $36 million or whatever it is. When I'm coming off the ACL and I'm ready and I'm healthy, the following season I'll put the financial burden back on the Clippers to be in a bidding war if I need to get more money. But at a certain point, if I want to win, I don't have to get as much money if it means adding a couple more players that can help me get to where I need to go. We just mentioned Reggie Jackson signs a 2-year deal. Probably could have gotten more other places, but he got two, and he got a decent amount of money at 24 or 5 a year. What Kawhi Leonard is doing right now is more handcuffing the organization that he puts pressure on to win than doing what needs to be done so that they can do things to survive while he's not in the lineup, so when he comes back, they can win.
This is who Kawhi is now, right? I mean, do we have to guess that this isn't, all right, he's getting bad advice in this one particular instance? You know, we've come a long way from him bailing on San Antonio and hiding from team employees to check on him and going up to New York to work out because he won't work out in San Antonio and all that and trying to force his way out. Like, this is who he is now, right? This is the guy who was bent out of shape because Nike didn't give him his own shoe and all kinds of weird things with Kawhi. He's weird.
But I'm tired of him hiding behind the soft persona. If he's soft-spoken, that doesn't mean you still can't be an a-hole.
Oh,
I don't
want to
hear
doubt.
From your uncle. I don't want to hear, you know, how it was all the Spurs' fault. I don't want to hear how after you won a title, it was close, but I had to have a helicopter and I had to have a house for my uncle and do some things. But I didn't really say that. But I need to be happy when I'm with the Clippers. Everybody keeps trying to appease you, and you keep making it harder and harder for the teams you play for. At a certain point, man, just take your foot off the gas and own up to who you are.
But isn't that the act? I mean, look, that was the act of Kevin Durant, right? Kevin Durant was the humble superstar until he wasn't the humble superstar.
But that was self-inflicted.
And he was a giant a-hole on social media and then started to become that way to the media because I could do that. I don't have to pretend
to
be nice.
He got caught with a burner. It was self-inflicted when he had to join the super team instead of staying with the team that was good enough that blew a 3-1 lead to the Warriors.
A lot of his fault.
Yeah, again, self-inflicted. But it was everybody else's fault. And now if you're coming at me, I'm going to be cranky a-hole KD.
And this is who Kawhi is. And the thing about it is he doesn't need to be this guy. He's got, what, 3 rings? 2 in San Antonio, 1 in Toronto. He's established himself as, you know, he's got a reputation as being one of the best two-way players in the game. You don't need to be this guy. And, yeah, you know what? He could have said, well, I'm probably not going to play because I got to have my ACL fixed. So I'll just leave my contract the same so you guys can figure out your cap situation. No, you got to pay me more money to not play. What was the point of that? There was no point of that. It's just a greed grab of, hey, I can, so I'm going to.
If you guys care, a little after 9 o'clock tonight, the United States will go for the gold medal in basketball led by that guy, Kevin Durant, as they take on France. France with a barn burner of a 1-point victory over Luka Doncic the other day, as Luka doesn't take the final shot. People were starting to point fingers. But let's be honest, Slovenia wouldn't have been anywhere near a gold medal opportunity or a medal, a place on the medal stand without Luka Doncic. He did all that he could. The possession before, he found a guy wide open instead of taking it himself for a three that put them in the position to win. They didn't get it done. Now Nicolas Batum, along with Rudy Gobert and company, France, USA, for the gold tonight, a little after 9 o'clock.
Didn't Luka feed a guy who had a clear path to the basket and just another player came from behind, blocked him from behind, and it was like a really, really great defensive play. But basically, he found a guy, clear path to the basket, who should have been able to flush it down.
Should have been, right. So, I mean, regardless of what you think of how that game turned out, for a USA team that was heavily scrutinized, they're now sitting on the cusp of yet another gold medal in basketball. Last night, I watched the A team, the women's volleyball team, completely annihilate Australia in the gold medal game and get another gold.
Oh, the beach volleyball?
Yep.
Oh, we were watching beach volleyball last night.
Yeah, so that was a good match to watch there. United States women's soccer team got a bronze.
They got a bronze.
Yep. And there's one more opportunity for a team gold coming up. Men's baseball. Men's baseball takes on Japan.
Women's basketball, too, right?
And women's basketball.
They never lose. Like, they haven't lost
they won
in
last
decades.
Night, but yeah, they won last night by, I think, 20 or more again. So they're one game away as well. As the Olympics wraps up this weekend, I mean, are you going to miss it?
No. You know what? But this is the part of the Olympics where you really start to watch, where the team sports and more of the athletes that you know, that they're the ones who are coming in, and this is the gold medal rounds and stuff like that. You know, like, I watched the last USA basketball game. I watched the last two. And, look, they got off to a really slow start in their last game, and then it was the KD show, and they pulled away in the third quarter, like 32-10. They really put their foot on the gas. As this team has gone through the games, you're seeing more and more of Kevin Durant just saying, all right, I'm not waiting for you guys. This is me. And KD is the guy who's kind of taken over as he's going to be the leader. He's going to get buckets, and he's not going to worry about anything else. And clearly this team needs that.
No doubt.
They also needed JaVale McGee. And you're like, all right, JaVale McGee. They needed a big body who get in there and bang.
No doubt. If you want to get in there and bang, we're here for – well, Pat's here. I mean – I mean, people are here to, like, associate with you up until 4, and then the Fred experience, Freddie and Friends, with Henry Thomas and Fred Frauer are going to be here from 4 to 7, 500 Golf Shop. Golf out here in Beaumont, it's a phenomenal spot. Before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at Cars for Kids. Look, you know what? Depending on where you live and what you got going on in your life, you might have a vehicle that's not running anymore that's just sitting out there in the backyard, in the garage, in the driveway, out in the field, and you're like, man, I don't want to pay any more money for a car that's not even working so that I can get it off my property and have to pay for a tow truck or whatever. You don't have to. If you're interested in getting rid of it and you want to make a difference in kids' lives by doing so, why don't you contact Cars for Kids? Go to carsforkids.org or call 713-225-4226. You're going to find out that you can donate that car. They're going to come to you. They're going to pick it up for free, tow it away. If you don't have the title, it doesn't matter. They'll track it down. And if you mention ESPN 97.5, you're going to get a $50 gift card. So essentially, you get paid to have them take your vehicle away and take it off your hands. It's also a tax deduction, and that's where the process really begins. They take that vehicle, and they turn it into resources for kids trying to get a second chance at an education. They're also going to make sure the resources go to the Houston Can Academies, which help to work with the kids so they can work towards their diploma. It's a phenomenal program, but it starts with your donation. It could be a car, a truck, a boat, a motorcycle, a trailer, and so much more. And like I said, running or not, it's exactly what they need, and it's exactly what you need to get off your property. Check them out today. Contact them and get the process started. You're going to find out it's fantastic because all you got to do is write off the car, not the kid.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from 500 Golf Center in Beaumont. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Here's Joel Blank and Patrick Creighton.
Hey, breaking news from Trey Campbell and other media sources. Kawhi Leonard, the guy we just talked about, is re-upping with the Clippers. Well, no kidding. We heard he was going to do that. The question then becomes, at what price? If he wants to do things the right way, maybe structure a deal that's heavily backloaded so that they're not cap-strung in a year when he's not going to play all year And then when he comes back, have a roster where if you re-sign your own players, you can actually go over the cap and have a better team for him as they chase a championship. Because no matter what they have with Reggie Jackson and Paul George and other guys, they're not going to be as good as the Lakers, maybe the Nuggets, the Jazz, the Suns, or the Warriors until they get Kawhi back and he can be a part of that season. I'm interested to see the numbers. Otherwise, I'm not going to stop and ease up on Kawhi Leonard because I'm tired of this whole, well, I'm just quiet and I'm behind the scenes when you're really a pain in the ass.
A giant pain in the ass. And that whole of, well, if I just keep my mouth shut, I can deflect a lot of the criticism because, well, I'm not the one who's saying it. You don't have direct quotes from me on things. But look, Kawhi is who he is. I don't think any of us are surprised by his actions and the nonsense. And they haven't announced terms of the deal yet. So when we get them, of course, we'll relay them to you. But it is, a lot of different reporters, including Chris Haynes, saying that he has committed that he will re-sign with the Clippers. So no surprises. Just a matter of how much, how long. You know, if you're the Clippers and you're going to re-sign him for a year where he might not play at all, don't you want to kind of look at that? Look, how much money do we have to pay you to not play? You know, but is this I have to be Kevin Durant? Kevin Durant got paid not to play, so I need to get paid not to play.
I mean, look, it's a new day and age for players too. And as I've always said, now that the recruiting process of any player that probably ends up on the short plan to get to the NBA, you're going to be coddled from the time you're in 7th and 8th grade with AAU. And then by the time you have to pick a high school, it's almost like a college recruitment in the fact that the high schools are going to be fighting and giving you all kinds of resources so you pick their school. And then after they get out of the way and give the ball to you and make sure that they capitalize as much as possible, you're a one-and-done situation. You're a one-year G League guy at $500,000. You're soaking up NIL deals before you head to the NBA. And it's not only the fact that in the NBA the salary structure is different and now you finally have to follow the rules. You still have that attitude of, you still have to cater to me. You still have to kiss my rear end. And if you don't, I'm going to find the next team that will. And LeBron's a classic example of that. When you see that when you take on LeBron, you don't just take on LeBron. You take on his best friend, Randy, who has to be team access, travel on the team planes, handle all of his off-the-court stuff. You know, there's certain things, certain masseuses, certain security people that teams have to pay for their best players. And I've seen it in Houston time and time again where it's not one thing that you have a James Harden, a Dwight Howard, or otherwise. The team is then going to add his security guy so he doesn't have to pay him and become a member of team security, but his only job and focus is to protect that player. And then it goes from there. And it's the layers in which these kids now are felt with the silver spoon in their mouth are coddled to is exactly why Kawhi Leonard is who he is right now.
LeBron is a very interesting case to me because he is the greatest player of his generation. He's a multiple-time champion. He is a guy who does a lot of terrific community work. I mean, he made a magnet school. I mean, he does a ton of things for underprivileged kids. Yet he will still get on social media and be the thinnest skinned guy in the room, not named Kevin Durant. Why, if you are LeBron James, why do you give a flying rat's tail if anybody in the media calls you the LAARP Lakers? Why do you care? How much money do you need to make? How much success do you need to have? How much of the big dog do you have to be before you finally stop caring what the peanut gallery has to say? And
well, here's my other problem, Pat. It's one thing to do all the things that you got to do to appease LeBron, but then he's your general manager too. Sure, Rob Pelinka is the guy that's going to finalize the deals, but he's the guy that's telling you, I want to play with this guy. I don't want to play with that guy. Go out and get me this guy. And that's why he's the one on Twitter trying to defend the guys that they've brought in because he's the guy responsible for most of them.
If I'm LeBron, I don't give a damn what anybody says. I'm freaking LeBron. Kiss my rings. Look at my bank account. How's my movie doing?
But that's like, what happens with not just LeBron, with Kawhi Leonard, with every player that sees that and also sees themselves as being right in that same kind of ilk and going, you know what? If LeBron can do it, I can do it too. And people talk.
The best thing any major athlete can do when it comes to social media is not frickin' be on it. have some, have your agent or your PR person or some intern just post some highlights of you, whatever community service work you're going to do, if you're going to make an appearance, all positive stuff. You stay the hell off of social media. Do not touch those buttons. Do not hit send, because all it does is bring you more problems.
Yeah, but Pat, they're bringing it on themselves. If they just took their money, showed up and played, left the personnel moves to the personnel department, and went about their business, they probably wouldn't catch the amount of heat that LeBron bitches about for being one of the most negatively commented athlete on social media with that poll that came out a few weeks ago with the survey they did. I mean, you shouldn't care about that stuff. But instead, they're dipping their nose in everything. They feel like they have to be coddled to and catered to. And it creates just a totally different environment working and being personally involved in a team environment like that and having to deal with how the Rockets cater to James Harden. It's frustrating because it could be so much easier for a guy that then doesn't like the media and everybody coming and breathing down his neck and blaming him for things. There's a reason why you're blamed, because you're trying to do too much when you're just supposed to do the things that are necessary to be one of the greatest players on the planet.
ZFG is not just a t-shirt.
I get it.
It's a lifestyle. And if I had bleep you money, and LeBron's got some major bleep you money, I'd just be throwing Z's at everybody. You couldn't pay me to care
but
what randos have to
but
say.
But he's chasing MJ, and he's chasing a legacy. And as much as he used to deny it, now he admits it wholeheartedly. In order for him to validate himself in his career, it's not just being considered one of the greatest. It's achieving the things that Michael did and more. He's a few chips behind. He's got that right there in his windshield as his number one focus. That's part of the reason why he went to L.A., not just for the environment and the chance to make movies and do some of the things off the floor. It's because he knew with a guy like Pelinka as well, they were going to do everything in their power to drop everything in their life. And it's a whole lot easier to get a guy to say, I'm coming to Southern California to play with you at the minimum, than it is Cleveland, Ohio. So for all those reasons and more, he's chasing the legacy in the shadow of MJ, and that's a big deal. So that's exactly why he is the way he is.
See, to me, it should be the opposite. I'm here to chase MJ. I'm here to focus on basketball. I don't care about social media. I don't care what a handful of writers think. I don't care what a bunch of fans think. I'm here to win championships. These are my guys. We're going to war. I'll see you in June. Like, literally, that should be it. I will never understand people who are super rich and super successful having the thinnest skin in the world, because at that point, you should straight up zero bleeps given.
It's just not going to happen, man. I mean, it's just not the way it is. I mean, it's just, you know what? They're the chairman of the board, and they want to say so on everything, but they don't want to hear the tough love when the critics come out of the woodwork as quickly as the fans do. So that's what we're dealing with when we start talking about some of these situations. Kawhi re-upping with the Clippers. I'm anxious to see the numbers. We'll get them to you if we see them before the end of the show. Whether you're watching the Olympics or not, as we mentioned, the Olympics are wrapping up this weekend. Did you miss them? Did you blink? Did you see them? Is it going to happen? We don't know. But they're out there if you care. As we continue to roll forward, a trade coming down in the NBA just now. I don't know that anybody cares about this, but one of the most hated players in the NBA, social media or otherwise, is headed now to another team as he's gotten his fill with the Jazz, where I thought he was perfect. Then the Grizzlies. Grayson Allen is now a member of the Milwaukee Bucks, if you care about that.
Breaking Astros news.
Tell me.
I'll tell you next.
Nice, good tease. Back with that and a whole lot more as we continue to roll on. It's the Press Box at 5 Under Golf Center in Beaumont, Texas. Come back and join us, won't you? Right here on ESPN.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Hall of Fame Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from 5 Under Golf Center in Beaumont. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Here's Joel Blank and Patrick Creighton.
All right, rolling on with the show in the Press Box as we are coming to you live from 5 Under Golf Center in Beaumont, Texas, in the 409 B-Town, where we love it here. You will too. If you come under 5 under, indoor, outdoor golf range, so much more. Pat Green this Monday night, the 9th, almost sold out. But if you love Pat Green and you want to see him up close and personal, get your tickets now, 5undergolf.com. Doors open at 5. Music starts at 6:30. All kinds of golf leagues you can get into. The Men's Fall Golf League starts Monday, September the 13th. Golftoberfest starts on Saturday, October the 2nd. E-commerce site is fully up. All you got to do is go to their website and you can shop, and their great pro shop featuring Titleist, Travis Matthew, Callaway, Ping, and more. They also have Lululemon for Patrick, On Cloud Shoes, and so much other options for you to choose from a wardrobe and athletic shoe performance perspective. But Alex is here giving out stuff with the promo team. Go to 5undergolf.com for all the details on the concert, the leagues, and otherwise, as we love this spot right here. It's a little toasty outside today, but we're making the best of it, having a good time.
We got some Astros news.
Yeah, you teased it. Am I going to be happy or not?
Nah, not really.
Super.
Our buddy Brian McTaggart reporting Yuli Gurriel hitting the 10-day IL because of his neck stiffness.
Great. Don't tell me Tyler Jones is coming up.
Taylor Jones is coming up.
I thought Tyler had a twin brother and he would have been better. Taylor Jones again. Haven't I seen that experiment one too many times?
Also, your favorite Astro, Robel Garcia, is being sent down.
Yay!
To AAA, and he's being replaced by the recently claimed Jacob Wilson, who will wear number 13.
Better be lucky, number 13.
So Jacob Wilson, who they recently claimed off waivers A's. From the A's, yeah. That we said, hey, this is a depth move for them if they had an issue. Well, they got an issue. Yuli's hitting the IL, and Robel has proven he can't hit a beach ball. So Jacob Wilson's going to get a shot, and Wilson was hitting fairly well this year in AAA.
Okay.
He was hitting .288 at Vegas, .385 on base, .1016 OPS, 14 homers, 46 ribs, 17 doubles. So he was hitting, he was bringing the lumber for AAA Vegas. So hopefully if they have to go to a guy in the infield, we'll get a look, at him. We'll get a look at Jacob Wilson, because like you, I'm pretty good. I don't really need to see Taylor Jones all that much anymore.
I don't need to see Taylor Jones anymore. I don't need to see Garcia anymore. I mean, you've given them how many opportunities and realized it's just not for them. Maybe it's just this year. If it's a prospect you want to hang on to, fine, so be it. Send them to Sugarland, where a lot of guys, as I mentioned, can be excellent AAA players and really, really excel at that level. They just can't make the transition all the way to the big leagues, or they're not ready for prime time yet. Regardless, this team is. That's why you can't keep screwing with these guys. I do want to ask you, though, were you not surprised after all we talked about yesterday that Mr. Myers wasn't in center field last night, especially with that makeshift lineup?
I have been surprised he hasn't been in the lineup the whole time, because there's no reason to bring him up to not play him.
Right.
It makes no sense. The kid was knocking the hell out of the ball. He's hitting like 340-something.
In AAA.
Right. But again, if you got a kid who's hitting the snot out of the ball and you bring him up, why would you bring him up to bench him? He's having the best season of his career. Either let him develop at AAA or put him in center field. It's not like you think Chaz McCormick's going to be a superstar. So if you're not sold on McCormick, then give Myers a chance to play every day.
I agree.
Let him find his stick at the major league level. And maybe in 2 weeks, he's comfortable. He's hitting the ball the way that he was hitting the ball at AAA. And now you've got an incredibly dynamic lineup with a guy who can absolutely go fetch in center field. If he's not that guy, or you don't want him to be that guy, put Chaz McCormick in center field. He's shown you he's got the speed to cover, you know, all the earth that's not underwater. He's got that kind of speed. Let him play. Whatever he hits, he hits. You were willing to make that sacrifice with Straw. Why are you not now willing to make that same agreement, essentially, with Chaz McCormick? These things don't make sense.
No, that's the frustration. For as much as I give James Click credit for what he's been able to do, and I know that a lot of people are hypercritical of Dusty, and I'm not that guy, and I know that he's always been criticized about how he handles the pitching staff. I'm not even to that point, because up until these trades before the deadline, he's had a less-than-stellar relief bullpen of relief pitchers so that he couldn't handle the pitching staff the way he wanted to anyway. He just had to go with any kind of guys that he had some kind of comfort with. Now that's a different story. But from a lineup perspective, the one thing that's chapped my ass all year long about his decisions is the fact that when this team gets rolling, when they get hot, or they get a situation where it's going to be a winnable situation and a good situation for them to take advantage of, he rests a bunch of guys, and suddenly a game that looks like it should be heavily weighted in your favor is a crapshoot like last night, and it's not been the first time it's happened, where they lose a game that I felt was winnable if they had put the right lineup out there. That's what bothers me. The fact that he's now forced to have a bench right now of guys from Sugar Land that can't hit. And maybe I don't care if they hit the cover off of it in Sugar Land. If they're not hitting the cover out of it here, Garcia should already have been sent down. All right? He's had ample opportunities. Toro was a guy, got hot for a little bit. Sure, at the end, he showed some flashes. But overall, he was going to be who he was, which was not a great hitter. And not a hitter for average either. The kid from the A's I want to see because he's got major league experience. And he's a guy that's a new face, maybe in a new place. He does something. But again, we're not talking about a team that's just going through the motions or trying to chase a wild card. This is a team that's trying to be the best team in baseball, and I want to see the best players on the field every night. I don't like seeing all these guys that are just scuffling, or in the case of Myers, a guy that if you're going to bring him up, I'm totally in agreement with you. Play him or keep him playing in Sugar Land so he stays fresh.
There is this other side of the coin when it comes to, especially recently, the lineups that have gone out, particularly with Kyle Tucker in center field. When Bo Porter was here, the front office and the analytics team wanted him to do certain things. He pushed back. He got sent out the door. AJ came from the Diamondbacks, where he and Josh Byrne were very analytically based, ahead of their time almost, analytically based, and that he was going to be a good match with Luno because he was willing to have that, you know, partner dynamic and embrace all the analytics. And AJ was a really good manager here. Dusty is more of your classic National League manager, and he had to kind of capitulate to the organization when he got hired of the way that we run things is this is a partnership. You're not the only guy in charge. We're going to give you input, and we expect that you're going to follow through on that. I can't imagine the Dusty in San Francisco, the Dusty in Cincinnati, the Washington. Dusty in Chicago, or the Dusty in Washington ever putting Kyle Tucker in center field.
No.
That seems like, you know, somebody with a pocket protector.
I'm not saying it's all his fault.
The analytics team is telling him.
I'm not saying it's all his fault. He's been stuck in a couple of situations where he really has little to no choice in terms of what his options are to have a good solution and outcome for what he's forced to deal with. That pen has been a disaster all year until the deadline. Now he's finally okay there, but now he's got worries with his starting rotation, and now he's constantly trying to shuffle guys in and out of a lineup, and his backup staff, infielders and outfielders and such, are just not up to par. So it's a difficult situation. I'm not going to put all the blame on his shoulders. Some of it has to go on James Click. Some of it has to go that you have to at least fortify the rest of the roster so that there are other guys to choose from. Obviously, you also had a situation with Aledmys Diaz. He got hurt. Otherwise, he's your utility guy. He brings a lot more to the table. But now he has to be out there, and now you're looking for other guys to still have to fill holes. So I get all of that, and I'm not trying to blame Dusty 100%. But again, because it's so hyper-important from a night-in, night-out basis, I don't feel comfortable that you're putting a guy that doesn't belong in center field. Chaz McCormick at least has the speed to play center field. He's got a decent glove. But you're right. Kyle Tucker has no in National League, American League Park. I don't care. He has no business being in center field.
No, and that to me, that sounds like the analytics department telling him, hey, we want you to play Kyle Tucker here in center field. We think that we can get more offense out of this position if you play him here. And we know, especially at that position, you must be defensively. If you want to be a championship team, you must be top end defensively up the middle. Catcher, second, short, center. Mm-hmm. You must be able to fetch the ball. Kyle Tucker is not going to be anything more than, at best, average in
center
field.
He's another guy that doesn't have the ticker and the blood pressure either. He and Yordan, when they're both in the outfield, look like they're half-assing it because they don't have that go for it, gotta go, step on the gas type mentality. Everything is so even keeled that's not their makeup. It may help to keep them calm when they're at the plate. It doesn't help you when, like you said, you need to be Jake Marisnik, George Springer, even Miles Straw, and really beat in on a baseball and focus on making a catch that's going to create a better win probability and take a ball that was almost a for sure hit away from and be something that takes the air out of the sails of a different team, like the Astros fans have been spoiled into seeing for so many years.
See, I don't know how much I agree with that. To a degree. But Kyle Tucker's 6'4". He takes really long strides.
Oh, he's loping now?
No, but he has really good speed. People don't realize how fast he is because he doesn't look like he's gassing it.
He doesn't go after the ball like he's got good speed.
But we've seen him make terrific defensive plays, diving plays, sliding plays in right field.
For as many as he has, I've seen him make half-ass plays,
but
too.
But we've seen him do it. So I don't question, oh, he can't get it. He's not capable. I think he is capable. But I also think there's a big difference between speed and right and speed and center. And how you track the ball from right to center, where the ball comes off the bat, when you get your jump, how you play a sidewall versus the deep wall. These are all different like parts of playing the outfield that Tucker, who's never been a center fielder, you're now asking him to do things he's not comfortable with. Remember when Kyle Tucker first came up and you had him playing right field and it looked like he was afraid of the wall? He'd slow up every time he hit the track. He didn't want to bang into the wall his first year when he came up. Now he doesn't have that issue. But when you go to center field and now you've got to be able to go both sides and bigger distances, and you're the guy who's got to be the one who's calling everyone off. You know, he's just, I'm in right field, I'm going to go hard, but as soon as Miles Straw or as soon as George Springer or Chaz McCormick, whoever's playing, as soon as that guy calls me off, I break. Now you're the guy that's calling off the other guy, so you have to be the one who's going to go fetch. It's a different mentality, it's a different style of play, and I don't know that he's good enough to be able to do it, at least not good enough right now, today, on this kind of team. If you want to take that kind of risk and you're the Kansas City Royals and you're going nowhere, cool. If you want to take that risk and you're the Miami Marlins and you're going nowhere, cool. You've got World Series aspirations. You've got to have the guy.
But you get what I've been saying all along.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. You have to have the guy who can go fetch. Either it's Chaz or it's Jake. You got to stop
fooling
around.
But you also get what I'm saying. If you're a World Series caliber team and you're not just a team that's either trying to make the playoffs or go through the motions, you can try and experiment with things like that. You can't afford to do these kind of things when you're a championship caliber team, and especially at this point in the season. Early on, if you're trying to figure it out, I get it. You didn't know what Chaz McCormick was going to be. You didn't know how Miles Straw was going to react. So you should have had a different mentality. Now you're in the mentality of this last month and a half of games, I got to be hyper-focused on winning every single game I can by putting the best lineup out there. They don't know who the best center fielder for this team is right now.
Well, we know it's one of two guys.
One of three guys. Because it's Chaz. It's
look, it's Chaz and Jake. They're the only two guys who can really play center.
Well,
they're your two legit center fielders. One of those two guys needs to play, and they got to stop tooling around with all this happy horse.
But Tucker's
food.
Been playing center field, so you got to put him in the mix. They think some way, whether you said it's the analytic department, somebody somewhere thinks Kyle Tucker can play center field or should, and that's where I have a problem.
Yeah, and that's a bad idea. We know it's a bad idea. I hope they're seeing that it's a bad idea. It's something that they need to scrap that idea in a hurry. This is, you know, we can't go to the, well, you know what, we're just going to teach Scott Hatterberg how to play first base because he hurt his arm and now he can't play catcher anymore. And you know what? He's going to make some really bad plays. But in a couple of years, he'll get it right. You're not that team.
No. All right, we'll continue to roll on. We got an hour to go in the program. Then after we're done, the Fred and Friends is going to be Fred Fowler along with Henry Thomas as they take you all the way till 7 o'clock, getting you ready for your weekend here at 500 Golf Center. Before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. I was there today. Got the blood pressure check, got a B12 shot, got on the full body comp. Everything that they do there is for your betterment and your health, and it starts with a phone call. All you got to do is call them, or better yet, go to their website, apollomh.com, and book your first appointment. When you do, you're going to find out that most major insurance is accepted, discounts for military personnel and first responders, and then let the process go from there. Dr. O and his staff worked at other clinics and other places where they found out what worked and what didn't, and now all they want to do is get results for you on a daily basis. You want to get on a workout program? That full body composition analysis is amazing. It only takes 60 seconds. It gives you a readout of everything, where you're at, where you need to be, and what you need to work on. If you want to recover quicker, there's HGH peptide therapy, and then there's all the different hormone therapies for both men and women. The fact is, they're going to ask you tough questions. If you give them honest answers, they're going to find you results. My body fat was down 9%. My weight was down. My muscle mass was up. The things that they were able to do and achieve for me, they chart so that every time I go in there, I can compare where I was to where I'm at and how long it's taken. They could do the same thing for you. Check them out today. It's the good people at Apollo Men's Health.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.